Start with the Cubs. They're pushing, and they paid a higher price than they probably would have in 2 weeks to make this deal right now.
Kyle Kuzma was the best player in the championship game, their leading scorer throughout the deal. I felt like he should have been MVP. That's no slight on Lonzo. I think they gave him the hype because he's the reason why the stadiums or the arenas filled.
Now, the Astros, they're already up 15 and a half games in the AL West. But what kind of impact will this injury have on the team?
Well, because they have a 15 and a half game lead, it's not going to be as hard as if they had a 2 or 3 game lead.
Well, hello, Tribe members. Thank you for joining us today on the 28th edition of the Tribe Podcast. I am Dave Love. With me is Eric.
Podcast people, what up?
And also with me is Richard.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
How we doing today, gentlemen? How we doing?
We doing wonderful.
Fantastic.
How about yourself, man?
Oh, I'm all right. Let's do this, okay?
Let's get it.
So there's a couple topics we got to get into, okay? It's been over a little week since we've been on the airwaves. Uh-huh. So I'm going to start off, and we're going to dive right into the MLB. Mm. All right, fellas. So I'm going to start off with you, Mr. Two Plates.
Uh-huh.
All right. So, you know, the trade deadline for the MLB is on its way. It's almost passed. So I'm going to talk about the Nationals, okay? The Washington Nationals. My question is did they solve their bullpen issues because they acquired Ryan Madsen and Sean Doolittle? Did they improve? Did they solve their issues to make a big run here?
I mean, I gotta be completely honest. I don't know that much about the Nationals, but mm-hmm. the two names you threw out there, you know, I mean, I am a little familiar with those guys. I know they are pretty good at what they do, especially Madsen. He's pretty good. So I mean, you get them two guys, instantly your bullpen is gonna improve. I mean, I'm not sure where they was before them, but I know after them. Oh yeah, they're gonna do a little bit.
How about you, Rich? Do you think they solved their bullpen issues?
I'm gonna go with Eric, man. I don't know too much about that team, but Eric is the person that's got to worry about them more. So if this does improve their team and they get a little bit better, they got to deal with them in their conference over there. So,
I mean, did they improve? Yeah, they improved, but I mean, they didn't improve dramatically where it's a game changer. They're missing an actual closer, and what they got were relievers and not really closers. So
I mean, who is their closer right now then?
I can't remember. Some bum off the street. But, I mean, really, I mean, their closers suck. I mean, they really don't have a closer, but they picked up, you know, decent. I mean, they're decent. Doolittle and Madsen, they're decent.
Yeah.
They picked up these two guys and as far as relievers, but actual closer, I mean, it's hard to find closers. I don't know if you know this.
Yeah.
Actual
yeah.
Uh-huh. True closers in the game right now. A lot of them want to be. A lot of them I can kind of see going. And this is just MLB together is have pitchers do 4 innings or a couple innings all the time, even like the starters. I mean, I can kind of see that going mm-hmm. in that direction.
Yeah.
Just the way they rest and the way they're keen to injuries anymore, and you know. How good these hitters are anymore. I mean, really. I mean, nothing's
unreal. And let's be honest, once the playoffs start, that bullpen is key.
That bullpen is key.
Because what a lot of teams do, they try to, what they call, shorten the game. Mm-hmm. That way, you know, instead of starter, go maybe 6 innings. Then after that, if you got the lead, you put in a strong guy for the 7th, you know, the setup man for the 8th, then you close it for the 9th. That's how you shorten the game a little bit. I mean, if they trying to, you know what I'm saying, do that, that's what they focused on. That's what the Cubs did last year when they went out and got the closer for the Cubs last year.
Oh, Chapman.
Chapman. Yeah, that's what the Cubs did. They had you know, some nice little setup man, but they didn't have a serious closer. But once they got Chapman, they had that setup to where they can, like you say, shorten the game. Mm-hmm. You know, after 6 innings, it was pretty much a wrap.
Yeah. So, I mean, it looks like it's clear across the board they did improve, but I don't know how dramatically improved they got by solving these issues.
Okay.
All right, Rich, I'm going to come out with you first with this next question. We're going to talk about your Houston Astros.
Uh-huh.
All right, my man. Some news. Carlos Carrera is going to miss 6 to 8 weeks with his injured thumb. I mean, how much effectiveness is that going to be for your team?
You know what? That would worry me if, you know, he was like our main hitter. But right now, our hitter right now is, well, we got Altuve and we got Springer. Springer is second in the MLB with home runs. So it worried me. But his backup also, Marlon Gonzalez, he's a solid backup. He could have been an all-star this year if, you know, if they needed like a reliever or something or a replacement. But he was close to being an all-star himself. So it's worrisome, especially for the amount of weeks. I think it's 6 to 8 weeks, right, that he's going to be out with his finger or his thumb. So, I mean, it worries me, but not too much. Because I like our roster right now, so.
I mean, plus the fact that the American League weak as hell. I mean, how big is y'all league in the American League? I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? That's a serious injury. That's a big-time loss. But y'all leading by so much that, you know what I mean? Now, y'all might not get that number one seed. That's the only question I feel like is, you know, y'all can get the number one seed in home court throughout the playoffs. That's the only question. I mean, the way the Dodgers playing, you know, that might not happen. And losing Correa, that's going to probably be the reason why it don't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. Of course they're going to miss this guy. I mean, even I'm not saying a whole lot, but they got to. I mean, this man has 60 RBIs, 20 home runs, and hitting .320.
And he's not one of y'all top hitters?
Y'all, say he's not y'all gonna miss
the top? Or he's...
Well, I mean, it's kind of split. For me, it is. But
I mean, damn.
He's a big piece of the team. So
I mean, they're gonna miss him.
Oh yeah.
But right now, I mean, it's not gonna affect them because they're literally about 15 games up in their division. Yeah. They can coast by right now. I mean, really.
Nah, but they still should go for that number one seed though.
I don't know, man.
I mean, you want that home field in the playoffs. You want that, especially in the World Series. Even though the Cubs won, despite not having it. You still want that if you can get it.
Let's go to you, Rich, about that real quick then. Do you really think, is that a real high importance to you, is getting that number one overall seed?
You
got to think about the Dodgers, man.
Yeah, you got to think about the Dodgers. And just what Eric was saying, they flipped it, right? So now it's like the number one seed.
Whoever the best record get the number one seed.
Get the number one seed. So, I mean, it is important, but I don't think the Astros are focusing on that. I think they want to get to the playoffs and, you know, do some damage in there. When you were asking who's the second closest team, it's actually Boston.
How many games back?
55. Well, they're 55 and 43, and the Astros are 64 and 32.
They're at least 15 games back.
Yeah, so. Mm-hmm.
Hey, but
we do have a huge lead.
Yeah,
and
one thing about Houston, though, like Dave said something recently, they real good on the road. So maybe that not having a home court, home field throughout the playoffs won't matter that much.
I mean,
because they play good on the road.
They're
also
34-11 on the road.
Exactly.
They're
so I mean,
warriors,
it probably won't make
it.
That big of a difference for them.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, we're gonna talk about the Chicago Cubbies.
Cubbies.
Little Cubbies.
Six and one since the All-Star break.
Man, enough with that jazz. the Cubs. All right, they made a big blockbuster trade. Okay,
uh-huh.
Cubs traded some prospects, including Elroy Jimenez, number 5 overall projected prospect.
Mm-hmm.
And they traded with, you know, the good guys, the White Sox. And we gave them.
It sounded like you said White Sox. That's what it sounded like. I'm saying. That's what it sounded like you said.
No.
Just being honest. That's what it sounded
like
you
said.
But go ahead, man.
It's what he's feeling inside, but go ahead, yeah.
Shit. We gave you guys Jose Quintana, okay? And he already played his first game with the Cubs.
Uh-huh.
12 strikeouts.
Yes.
7 scoreless innings, mm-hmm. man. So my question is are you more how do you say? Are you more Man, I can't. I'm lost for words. I really am. Anyways, what do you think about the trade, basically? Do you think it was a
I ain't going to lie. When I first heard about it, you know what I'm saying? I mean, nothing against Quintana. You know what I'm saying? I think he's a decent young pitcher, even though he struggled a little bit this year. He was like 4-8 with an ERA and, you know what I'm saying, the fours with the White Sox. So he struggled a little bit. It was the fact that they gave up Jimenez, the number 5 prospect, in all of baseball, with the minor leagues or whatever. That's what I had a problem with at first. But fact of the matter is, to get quality, you got to give up quality. You know what I'm saying? And man, Quintana came out that first game, like you said, 7 scoreless innings, 12 strikeouts. I mean, he struggled with the White Sox, but maybe he needed a change of scenery. I'm not sure what it is exactly, but, man, if he can keep that up, I'm not saying he's going to come out every game and do that. You know what I'm saying? But if he can be solid, you know, a solid number, I say maybe 3, maybe 4 starter for the Cubs.
Right.
Because we all know Arrieta, Lester, they've been struggling. Hendricks, he been hurt.
Right.
Even before he got hurt, he was struggling. So, yeah, I mean, and it's, he's like a spark plug, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And these guys, they see him go out there and pitch well. That's going to motivate them to pitch better.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? It's a trickle-down effect. And I'm hoping that this guy is.
So, Rich, with this trade went down, and what Eric was basically alluding to, he's coming into a winning atmosphere from the White Sox. I'll be honest. He's coming from a losing atmosphere into a winning atmosphere. Oh. So is this what he needs is a change, and is this what the Cubs needed for a change, too, to get going here?
I mean, the difference it made for the team so far, I would have never thought the Cubs would have came out in the second half and been doing the way. I mean, they just lost their first game since the break yesterday, right? They lost to the Redbirds or whatever y'all call them. I mean, it seems like since they added him, I mean, they're just playing better. They're just, you know, I think it was a good change of scenery, no matter, I mean, it's still in Chicago, so it's not really that big of a change for the city, but, I mean, I think it was good.
Oh, okay. All right, y'all. Oh, you know what? I got to talk about my socks a little bit. I mean, you know.
Go ahead, pimp.
I think it's good for us. Let me talk about the White Sox, the good guys side. Mm-hmm. I think it's good for us. Finally, you know, I told you guys at the beginning of the season, I didn't really expect much from the Sox this year. I just wanted them to, you know, do the best they can, try to get younger, and that's what they're doing. You know, we started growing our farm system this past off season, and now going through this trade, you know, pick some more prospects up. And then recently, we just got rid of Frazier and everything, and we got some more prospects. I mean, we got top. I mean, I think it was 8 of the top overall prospects, top 100, I think. So we got 8 of them out of the top 100 prospects. Mm. Wow. Whatever the hell that means. I mean, honestly, prospects, exactly what is what that word means, just prospects. I mean, you can never know.
Yeah, that's true.
Everything's 100 in this world. So it's even that, because you just don't know. Everybody can be projected at what, and then somebody out of the blue projected, you know, 500 turns out to be, you know, one of the best.
Yeah.
You never know. So, I mean, the Sox, they did what they had to do. They're going into the farm system, kind of building. You kind of said it to me, Eric.
Start from the bottom.
They're doing what the Cubs did a couple years ago.
That's exactly what the Cubs did. Exactly.
So, I think it's too late. I mean, I'm not saying it's too late, but I think they started too late. You know, just because, I mean, we haven't really made a splash since our World Series run. I think maybe a year after that, we're decent. I think we won like 80-something games. But after that, it was just...
Damn, and that was like 22 years ago.
2005. Wait, I mean...
No, 12 years ago. My bad. 12. Yeah, I'm going to think 95.
I ain't gonna lie.
My bad.
I mean, I'm a Sox fan, but I'm a realist fan as well. Oh, so.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right, trend members, that's it for the MLB. So, our main topics are going to be in the NFL. All right, fellas. So the NFL season starts in about 9 weeks. So we're going to take each week, each division, and talk about those teams and what our predictions and what improvements they made or didn't make. So this week, we're going to talk about the NFC West, okay? So we got the LA Rams. We got the Arizona Cardinals. We got the San Francisco 49ers. And we got the Seattle Seahawks. So, what's that about?
It's not a good division.
It's going to surprise some people. Wow. I think it's going to be a little bit better than what people projected to be.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so, I mean, let's hit it off right off the top. The Seahawks. I'll go to you, Rich. We're all going to talk about the Seahawks. Uh-huh. What is your prediction? Did they improve? What they didn't improve?
They didn't really improve this offseason, did they? I don't think they got any big names or anything. And I don't even know. I forgot who they drafted, but the Seahawks, no matter what, they were going to be my pick to win that division either way.
Still your pick.
The Cardinals, they struggled last year. I mean, who knows where the Rams are going to be.
I didn't ask you about those. I just asked about the Seahawks.
The Seahawks will win the division. That's my prediction.
L.O.B., Legion of Boom. The best move that they didn't make was keeping Richard Sherman. Because we all know this whole offseason, damn near, they was talking about trading Sherman. Uh-huh. I think that's the best move they didn't make. They didn't make many moves. Like Rich said, they didn't make, you know, they didn't make no splashes. They didn't bring in, you know, they did bring in, what's his name, Austin. What's his name, the quarterback?
Austin
the
Davis. Back,
Austin Davis. Oh, yeah, they did Austin bring Davis. Up the backup quarterback, Austin. They missed out on Kaepernick, but they brought in Austin Davis, the backup, you know what I'm saying, Russell Wilson. But not trading Richard Sherman.
They dodged him. Yeah.
If they would have traded Richard Sherman, I mean, that plus you're getting Earl Thomas back. Let's not forget the quarterback of that defense. You know what I mean? So they didn't really need to make any big moves because they are already solid. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like Rich said, I agree.
Yeah. They're
going to win that division.
I got a couple things about the Seahawks. I mean, like you said, when you talked about Austin Davis, I am a little worried about that. I mean, we all see how the health of Russell Wilson, how that affected that team, especially offensively.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, you talk about the Legion of Boom, but they were getting some points added on them, whether it was because there was injuries or whatever to
Earl Thomas. That's what it was.
You could say that, but, you know, I mean, like you said, defenses can plan. So can offenses, my friend. Offenses can plan too now, my friend. So, I mean, I am worried about Wilson with his health. I'm not saying he's not healthy. I'm just saying all it takes is one good lick.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that could be the end of your season.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly. So for them to get Austin Davis, okay, I guess. But like you said, if you had Kaepernick.
Uh-huh.
And he was willing to be the backup, and he knew he was going to be the backup. Why didn't you get him then?
Because you pretty much won't miss a beat if you replace Wilson with Kaepernick.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But I am worried about the defense as far as there's something wrong with them and their head coach, Pete Carroll, man. I don't know what it is. I still feel like there's something wrong ever since that Super Bowl loss. I know people are glossing over it and not in say it here and there, but I really do think that there is something wrong.
Oh,
or there is a divided or a dividend between those.
Yeah, them guys still mad, especially Richard Sherman. He's still mad about that shit. You know what I'm saying? But
so, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing, like, CJ Procise.
That's what I was going to bring up, too, that running
back.
Yeah, Eddie Lacy also. They also got Eddie Lacy.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
did.
Even though he's...
Yeah.
But, I mean, he shed it a few pounds. He done lost a little weight.
He took a shit the other day, so he lost a couple pounds.
So what does that mean for Rawls?
They got a three-headed monster back there. I mean, you got to, you know, break them carries up a little bit.
Yeah. But that's... I could understand what you're talking about, Thomas Rawls. But CJ Procise is what
I like. Procise.
He got going a little bit for a couple games, then he got hurt. Now, but he was, and then Jimmy Graham. I don't know if he's going to be any good again this year. I mean, he was like on and off. He had one good game, and then he had four bad games, and he had one more.
You
good
would know.
Game.
Yeah, you would know. You had him.
All right.
What else we got, Dave?
All right. Well, let's just talk about the lower. Let's be honest. It's about the lower teams. Well, they got the Cardinals. I mean, Arizona Cardinals, do you think they'll give Seahawks their competition for the division? You think
they're going to definitely compete.
Yeah?
They got a monster in the backfield. They got a special young man in David Johnson in that backfield.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing with the Cardinals is they're going to go only as far as Carson Palmer going to take them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Palmer, he struggled last year.
Yeah.
He didn't play. Man, he was very bad last year, but 2015 he was real good. If they could get anywhere close to that 2015 Carson Palmer with David Johnson, that defense is gonna be pretty good. You know, that defense is gonna be all right. Still got Fitz, you still got John Brown, you got, you know, I mean, they don't have no big time, you know, players on offense, but that defense is gonna be pretty good.
Yeah.
And with David Johnson, but everything hinders on Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple things. I mean, the one thing I do worry about is they don't have a complimentary cornerback to go with Patrick Peterson. They have him, yeah. But they don't have, you know, not really anybody to counteract with on the other side.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a small problem, I guess you could say, on defense.
That's a big problem. You only got one cornerback. That's a big problem.
The other one is, like you said, Carson Palmer. I don't know, man. He's up there in age. He's 34 years old.
No, he's older than that. I think he's like 36, 37. Yeah. Yeah, you know, like he can still ball though. I mean, look at Brady. Brady damn near 40 and he balling.
But that's a totally different system, man. That's a totally different system compared to theirs. I mean, I understand people are saying Brady this and that. He's the greatest, or whatever. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. But I always say it's more of the system how they playing and the play calling than it is of actual quarterbacking. You know what I'm saying? I just don't see the play calling in the system as good as New England. I mean,
that's been established
for decades. I could say, but I mean, he worries me with his age, his nutrition, his health. Man, I don't know. He's saying, oh, he's gonna change this year. You get out of here, man. You can't teach an old dog a new trick. I mean, come on now.
Can you?
No. No. Sorry, no. What about David Johnson? I mean, Rich, do you think David Johnson is still going to be top five overall fantasy pick?
By the way he played last year, I mean, he played above and beyond last year. I think he led the NFL in touchdowns, total touchdowns. Mm-hmm. I just don't see him slowing down. He's still young.
Right.
And the whole saying defense got a plan. I mean, they had time to plan for him, and they couldn't stop him. He always had a way that he was going to score or get open and everything. So I think he's going to, if not stay the same, he's going to go even higher, which would be hard to do because, I mean, he had a great year last year. But I do agree with what Eric was saying. It's as far as Carson Palmer will take him because David Johnson blew up last year, and they still weren't even close to the playoffs, so.
Yeah.
They were 7-9, and, you know.
No, 7-8-1.
Oh, yeah, they have a tie that one game. Okay, you're right. You're right.
So,
okay.
It's about Carson Palmer and that defense. They lost Calais Campbell. But that's
and,
like the
and Tony Jefferson. That's the
oh, Tony
that's
Jefferson.
Safety.
Yeah,
that safety.
Yeah.
Tony
yeah,
Jefferson.
Yeah,
yeah, he's
Tony
gone.
Jefferson. So they lost those two big pieces. Calais Campbell was, I thought he was a good player. So that defense has to, you know, figure something out because, like you were saying, Patrick Peterson. He's got nobody across from him. He's all by himself. I'm sure they're going to put, I don't even know who they have. I can't even think if they drafted a player or not. But it's all about Carson Palmer and how good that defense can be.
So I'll agree across the board that Seattle's going to win the division.
Yes.
But
Cardinals will give them a...
Oh, yeah. Cardinals going to challenge them, but they're going to fall a little short. Yeah.
So what about Cardinals? Are they going to make the playoffs?
No.
Being a wild card?
No.
I just don't see it. That's tough. I mean, because the NFC, who does the NFC really have? Like, the AFC, you can name. You could already say the Patriots.
I mean, because you got, it's two wild cards, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm looking at Dallas. I'm looking at, who else we got? You know, maybe Minnesota might, you know, challenge for it. You got Philly? Nah. I mean... Arizona gonna challenge for it. I just think they're gonna fall a little short. You know,
like
yeah, they gonna, you know, off. Yeah, yeah. They gonna.
I actually
be a little
think
bit
they're
off.
Gonna make it. I think they're gonna make it.
Yeah,
I think they're gonna make it.
Yeah,
they'll creep in. They'll creep in at the last game. They're gonna make it. All right, let's talk about your team, Eric. LA Rams. I'm just playing. No, let's talk about the LA Rams. Okay. So, LA Rams, you know, let's talk about what you think the record's going to be, if they're going to be an improvement. Todd Gurley, is he going to improve? Jared Goff, is he going to have a decent year? I mean, you could technically say this is going to be his rookie season.
He played enough last year.
You
that
think he played
it,
enough
yeah, he played
year?
Enough yeah, last year that he got his feet wet, and he should be a little better this year, which I think he will be. In regards to Todd Gurley, I mean, it all starts with their offensive line. I mean, they went out, made a couple moves. They brought in Andrew Whitworth. He's like 35, though. But he's one of the best left tackles in football last year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, they made a little improvement to that line. I don't know. I don't feel like it's enough. And their problem is they don't have no weapons on the outside. I mean, they got Tavon Austin. They went out and got Kenny Britt from Cleveland, which, I mean, That wasn't a huge move, but, you know, I mean, wait, is Britt in Cleveland?
No.
No, I'm bad. They lost Britt. Yeah, they didn't get Britt. They lost Britt. Yeah, they brought in, who am I thinking of? They brought, the Rams brought in. Not Britt.
I can't even think. There's such a.
Was it Robert Woods? I know they brought in a receiver.
Oh, Robert Woods from Bills.
Right, there you go. I know they brought in a receiver. Yeah. I mean, Robert Woods is, average at best.
Yeah, he's not.
I mean, if you got, Tavon Austin on one side, you got Robert Woods on the other side, I mean, what is defenses going to do? They're going to stack that box to stop Gurley like they did last year. I mean, because they don't fear that passing game of the Rams.
And you talk about Tavon Austin, how good is – how I don't even see Tavon Austin as – as a great wide receiver.
He's not a great wide receiver. He's average at best.
Yeah, he's not someone to fear. So they are going to stack the box and try to stop Gurley as much as they possibly can because they're not scared. And who's their tight end? I can't even think of their tight end.
Can't remember his name, but I can.
It's like you can't name anybody on that offense besides Goff and Gurley. That's those. Because, you're not really scared of a Tavon Austin. So I don't know how they're going to do with that.
So record-wise, they would be 6-10.
Wow. Six.
Yeah, I'll give them 6 wins. They win a couple.
Better than last year.
I mean, they'll win a couple, you know.
All right, that's good that you gave me that little.
Hey, but they defense is pretty good, though. That's defense can, defense is going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
That's why I give them 6 wins.
All right, I really don't care about the Rams. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, you guys had great points in – I don't know. I just think Todd Gurley was always overrated, and I told you that beginning of last season, he was going to have a slump. Like, his first year was going to be his best year, I think, of his career, an NFL career. Jared Goff, I really didn't see too much of him that wowed me anything at all. I know it was a short amount of time, but I was just like, okay. You know, it's kind of sad because I'm like, well, y'all should just went for Carson Wentz, I guess. I mean, everybody would say, well, Dak Prescott, well, you had Carson Wentz and Jared Goff being the top quarterbacks. It looks like you messed up on that one.
Yeah.
I mean, Jared Goff, I mean, not putting him down, but who knows? Maybe he'll.
It's too early.
It is too early. We'll see what he can do. I want him to really play, though. I want him, like the coach, to say, you know what? Get out there. You know, we're going to help you as much as you can. You're going to get hit. You're going to get rocked. You're going to make some mistakes. But it's all about pulling through it. Let's see what you can do when those mistakes happen, what you do right afterwards, you know?
But, I mean, you got this young quarterback. Why not give him weapons? He have no weapons. I mean, you want him to be good, but you're not surrounding him with talent.
Huh. Almost seems like it's like an organization thing where, like, not a lot of people want to play there for that organization. I mean, after the best show on turf. After all that was done, it just seems like a lot of free agents don't even look over there or anything. They just like, I don't know if it's the organization or they just really don't. I don't know.
And they had a couple of chances to bring in some kind of.
Come on,
Alshon Jeffries. They had Eric Decker. They had I know these aren't like top tier wide receivers.
But they, it's
well,
not
Jeffries.
Like,
it, I think Jeffries is.
It's
good,
not like they didn't have the money.
Yeah, I know.
You know what I'm saying?
They could have went out and got.
And with them moving, they need to get that revenue up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
ASAP. You know what I'm saying? They need to put a good product out there.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the the bottom of the litter.
Come on, man.
The San Francisco 49ers. And the reason why I say the bottom is because it's sad. It's sad because. When you have two quarterbacks that were former Chicago Bears and the Bears got rid of them, that's bad.
Yeah.
Your starting quarterback is a former Chicago Bear quarterback who they let go, released, and your backup is from the Chicago Bears. I mean, I love my Bears, but man, when it comes to quarterbacks, Chicago don't know nothing about quarterbacks.
I mean,
don't
feel too bad for the 49ers, though. I feel like they made the best move of all four teams in that division, and that was bringing in John Lynch. John Lynch is a passionate, dedicated. I mean, he's mostly on defense, though, so you can tell that's what they're trying to build up first. That's why they drafted Solomon Thomas and Reuben Foster.
Yeah.
In the first round. Two outstanding picks. Two very, very good picks. You know what I'm saying? You still got the linebacker. I forgot his name.
Bowman?
Yeah, Bowman.
Yeah.
Navarro Bowman. Still got Navarro Bowman. I mean, That's what they trying to do. Build up that defense. They got a decent running game, so don't feel too bad for them. They ain't gonna compete next year, but in the real near future, they gonna be all right.
Do you see them better than the Rams though this year?
No. With Brian Hoyer as their quarterback? Hell no.
Man, you are all about Brian Hoyer.
No, I mean, yeah, you got Brian Hoyer. Who is on their offense though? Who is their receiver? They got Carlos Hyde. They drafted Joe Williams, a real good running back from that was school you went to, but he's real good. They got Hightower, Tim Hightower. So they got running backs. But who are their receivers?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I can't even think of one.
They did bring in Garcon. My bad, Pierre Garcon.
Oh, they brought him.
He's a little up there in age, but he's still all right. But with that offense, no, they're not gonna win too many games.
I see them winning about four games. To be honest,
yeah, that's what I get. 4-12. I get them 4-12. That's about right.
I see him. I mean, who knows? But I mean, what about you, Rich? What do you think about the 49ers? Kyle Shanahan over there coaching.
I was just about to talk about that, dude.
Go ahead.
I know Kyle Shanahan from him being with Houston, and I actually wanted him to be our head coach, but he went off and went to go work for his dad with the Broncos. But I actually like Kyle Shanahan. I like his offense. I know, didn't you kind of blame him for the Super Bowl loss?
Kyle Shanahan? Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, that was his fault.
He blamed him.
He was a play caller.
But he also led that team to that great offense. He led it. That was him. So I think the San Francisco 49ers, their defense, I think like Eric was saying, they drafted two great defensive players. They're going to help that team become what it used to be. But I see them better than the Rams. I mean, there's no way that – I just don't see the Rams being better than the 49ers. I think the 49ers will at least get six games. I flip that. I think they'll get six games. I don't know which one of you guys said that the Rams would get six.
I said six.
I just don't see that happening. I think the 49ers will be better than the Rams. And Brian Hoyer, whenever you played for you guys, I could have swore you knew his touchdown.
Brian Hoyer was all right. You know, Brian Hoyer, he wasn't terrible with us. He was all right. Don't get me wrong.
How many?
You're just not finna win 7 to 8 games with Brian Hoyer as your quarterback with no wide receiver, with Pierre Garcon being your best wide receiver.
Yeah, I understand that where you're coming through, Eric. So anyway, man, you know what that means? It's time
for
rapid reaction. All right, you got about a couple questions. I'll be quick, okay? And my man Eric's gonna do it today.
Well, I gotta be quick, man? Cause I'm doing it.
No.
Oh, okay then.
No, it's always quick.
All right,
rapid.
Let's go then. It's rapid. All right. Let me, as I get my question out, y'all make it rapid.
Okay. All right.
All right, Rich, man, first question for you, man.
Let's go.
All right, go ahead.
Go ahead.
All right, you know.
Yes.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Hey, recently, my boy, Chris Bryant, you know what I'm saying? He injured a finger on his hand, sliding into second base.
Yeah.
Now, earlier this season, the same injury happened to Mike Trout and also your boy, Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
The same exact injury. Now, to prevent this type of injury, should Major League Baseball ban the head first slide?
God. I mean, that's been in the game for forever. I don't think they'll ban it. I don't think they should ban it either. It was just a freak accident.
Oh, okay.
Freak accidents.
Come on, Mr. Nope.
Right here, Dave, on you, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, Summer League basketball is over. You know what I'm saying? You know, the big name in Summer League basketball was Lonzo Ball. Lonzo, this is his stats for the league. 16.3 points, 9.3 assists, 7.7 rebounds. Some people even compared him already to your boy, Jason Kidd.
What?
Already.
I didn't even know that.
Also, I want to put out one thing. You know what I'm saying? In Summer League history, there has been zero triple-doubles. No rookie has ever hit a triple-double in Summer League play. Lonzo had two of them. So now, are you buying the hype for Lonzo Ball?
I'm not buying the full hype. I mean, I never did say this kid could not play. Yeah, this kid can play. But I'm not. They hyped him so much where it was unbelievable. It's ridiculous. So I'm not buying the hype, but he can play, and we'll see what happens in the future. Because remind you did say summer league.
Oh, okay. Rich, you know, NFL season right around the corner. You know what I'm saying? It's quite a few young up and coming quarterbacks out there that could be on the verge of stardom.
Deshaun Watson.
You know, two of them that I like, not Deshaun Watson. I mean, I do like Deshaun Watson, but I'm not talking about him right now.
Okay.
Two of them that I like, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston. If you was a general manager, which of these two guys would you want leading your team and why?
Marcus Mariota. I know he's part of the Texans division, and I don't want anything good for a happy for him, but I would rather build my team around him. I think Jameis Winston's a little too cocky for, you know, how good he is or what how good he thinks he is. I think Mariota, I'd rather build a team around Mariota.
Oh, okay. Back on you, Dave. You know what I'm saying? It's being reported that, you know, the Patriots might have a chance to go 19-0 this year. Perfect for the season. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Me, personally, I think this team is better than any team of the Tom Brady era. You know, even 2017 that went 18-1. Your opinion?
2017.
My bad. 2007.
Yeah.
Okay. 2017 that went 18-1.
This guy's predicting. You know,
I mean, this team is better than that team, in my opinion. Mm. Is it a chance that could happen? 19-0.
Very slim chance because they both have the same quarterbacks. And that quarterback is 10 years older than the one that was in 2007, my friend.
Yeah.
So this is going to catch up. No way they're going to be undefeated this year. No way.
Okay, Ritz. Back on you, man. Yo, Houston Texans. They won the South last year despite having a negative 49 point differential. By far the worst by division champ. With a winning record since 1970.
Uh-huh.
I mean, this year.
Are you throwing stones at them?
Yeah, man. I'm just saying, the stats don't lie. Numbers don't lie. You know what I'm saying? This year, 2017, is this the year the offense catch up with the defense?
Yes, this is the year. I believe in Deshaun Watson. I know he's young and he's going to be a rookie. And not a lot of quarterbacks that go that early in the round actually turn out to be anything. But I have faith in Deshaun Watson. He's gonna lead that offense. Along with that number one ranked defense from last year, and we're going to the playoffs.
Is he gonna start from week one?
Yes, he'll.
I hope he do. I really hope he do.
I hope he does too.
Back on you, Dave. You know what I'm saying? You somewhat of a Cowboy fan.
Somewhat. Yeah.
You know, they interviewed your boy Dak recently.
Sure.
And they asked Dak, "Are y'all gonna win the NFC East?" And this is exactly what he said: "We're the Cowboys. We're going to win the NFC East." Do you agree with that quote? And why?
Yeah, I agree with that quote. Come on, man. What quarterback or anybody's team not answer that in a positive way? If you don't have that, if a quarterback of your organization doesn't have that confidence, then he shouldn't be your starting quarterback. Come on now. This is all about competition. You should have that swag. You should have that confidence. And, of course, he's telling the truth. They are going to win that division.
You and Dak Prescott, crazy as hell.
All right.
Back on you, Rich.
All right.
Last one for you, man. Tony Romo recently said that he's 99.9% done with the NFL. Now, God forbid something happened to Dak, you know, in regards to a serious injury or, you know, maybe he struggled a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But let's say that do happen. I mean, what is the chance Tony Romo might suit up again?
I don't see it ever happening. I don't think he. I think he needs to stay where he's at right now. He made the right decision. His back can't take any more injuries. I think he'll stay put no matter what Dak Prescott does this coming up season.
Oh, okay. Last one for you, Dave. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a topic. This might take a little while for me to get it out, but this is a topic that you know, I'm surprised that we haven't talked about, especially me being a Chicago Bears fan a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I know. I asked Rich a question recently about the NFL Top 100, about J.J. Watt.
Yeah, J.J. Watt.
You know what I'm saying? And I had a problem with it because my boy Jordan Howard, second in the league in rushing last year, wasn't even on that list. Yet Adrian Peterson was. Adrian Peterson played in three games last year. Adrian Peterson was 90. He was 98, but he was still on that top 100.
I thought
100.
Jordan Howard had been
to me. No, he wasn't on that list at all. Second leading rusher in the NFL last year.
Yeah.
Wasn't on that list at all. You know what I'm saying? Adrian Peterson was. He played in three games last year, and this is his stats. 37 total carries for 72 yards for the whole season, yet he's on that list.
What's the question?
Oh, my bad.
I'm still waiting for the question, B. I'm sorry.
I'm just bitten a little bit. I mean, just what is your opinion about that? Jordan Howard not being – why is Jordan Howard not on that list?
Because it's a popularity contest. My man over here, he's from Houston, just admitted it. J.J. Watt's on top of the list, and he didn't even play. He barely played. He shouldn't be on it. It's for each year. It's not. It's a popularity contest. Come on, man. We know this. Come on. That's in everything we do. That's just what sports media does anymore. So,
and that's the thing, though. It's not even the media. This is players' votes. The players vote.
Well, they vote for their friends. I mean, come on, man. You mean they probably don't know who Jordan Howard is until they actually face him.
He played for the Chicago Bears, one of the big market franchises in the NFL.
That's just how bad the Bears have been the past couple years, bro. This isn't 85 anymore, This isn't 85.
You know what? I'd be more upset if it was like an actual serious, like a little award or recognition.
No, I mean,
J.J. Watt even said this whole list is a joke.
It is. I agree.
J.J. Watt didn't even agree with where he was. He said he shouldn't even make the list, which is right. He shouldn't have. He only played 3 games.
You know how he laughed when he heard about this, and when he said it was a joke.
What was that?
Wah! I thought you were gonna go. Ha, ha.
Right. You got more questions?
No, y'all. That is it for the rapid reaction. Thank y'all for listening.
Great job, Eric. Good job on the rapid reactions. Next time, let's be more rapid, huh?
I told you we're gonna be rapid.
Next time, let's
I told you it wasn't gonna be rapid, man. I told you.
Thanks for bearing with us, tribe member. But anyways, no, that was good, man. You had some good questions, but and you also had a vent at the last. I appreciate that.
A little bit, man.
I had to
get that out, man.
That's how I know it's real messed up, man. I do believe a little bit that you are a Bears fan a little bit. You were passionate when it came to Jordan Howard, man. Maybe he is a Bear fan.
Even though he dropped him in the league, just bringing that up.
Why you got to bring that up?
I'll never forget that.
Man.
You have faith in a guy, you just drop him.
Hey, guys, I just got one quick question in the NFL still, and then we'll get into the next topics. Le'Veon Bell and Kirk Cousins both didn't get to sign a long-term contract. Man, are you guys surprised? I'll start with you, Rich. Are you surprised they didn't sign?
I was very surprised, especially for Le'Veon Bell. I mean, as much as he's done for that team, you would have thought that extension would have got done. But he also said he wants to be paid as the number one wide receiver and the number one running back. He wants big money, big money. And Kirk Cousins, I mean, he turned down the highest guaranteed money in NFL history for a quarterback. I think it was like $53 million guaranteed money. So he turned that down. So he must think he's like a top five quarterback or something.
Well, let me just reiterate with that with Kirk Cousins. It's because he's going to get $24 million because he's going to be franchise tag. Because this is the second year in a row. So that money keeps going up and up.
Okay,
Every time they keep franchising him, the money goes up. And I think it goes to the $33 million
next year. If it,
yeah. So
which I don't see them doing, but if they did.
That's what he's doing. He's betting on himself. You know. Like, okay, fine, keep franchising. I'm going to make more money. So why am I going to sign, you know, 54 when I can buy? I'm getting $24 million regardless. Right now, you know what I'm saying.
That's what he came out and said that he don't mind taking the 1 year, one contract a year, deal or whatever.
You know what's kind of weird? He's kind of trickling into the NFL is the LeBron, what LeBron's doing, the betting on himself every year, every 2 years. You know what I'm saying?
But you could do that in basketball because the injury, factor is a lot less in basketball.
You know what I'm saying?
In football, I mean, dude can go out there in the first week and have a career-ending injury. Then what? He don't have a secure contract to pay him for the next 3 or 4 years or whatever. They want that security, and I don't blame them because football is a dangerous sport. So you could be done at any time, just like that. So they want that comfort, that contract, that long-term commitment that they know they ain't got to worry if they do go out. Say this year, they still got money in the future to look forward to.
How many times can a player be franchised tag?
I thought it was two.
That's what I thought.
I thought it was two. It
could go up, but
They must have changed that shit recently.
I mean, this is the first time a quarterback has repeated a franchise tag. First time ever.
That's why I've never heard
of it. So, I mean, if they're talking about the third one, I mean, they're already telling you how much money he'll make if he gets another one after this. So, obviously, I don't know what the limit is. And at least three is the limit.
I've always only heard of one time.
I thought it was two. But speaking of Le'Veon, though, hey, who's the highest paid quarterback in the league? How much is he making? About $25 million a year? Or $20-25 million, something like that? Is it that high? Because you're talking about these running...
Derek Carr is the highest. Derek Carr, you're talking about these running backs
that's, you know what I'm saying, they the one that's up in the trenches and, you know what I'm saying, doing the dirty work and getting hit constantly. But the highest paid running back right now, not including Le'Veon on the franchise tag, is Shady McCoy. Shady making $8 million a year.
$8 million.
You know what I'm saying? But you got these quarterbacks making $25 million, but you paying these running backs $8 million? Oh yeah, Le'Veon should be upset. And he said they lowballed him on the contract that they did offer him. Yeah. They did offer him a long term deal. Don't get me wrong.
But
it was
like $10-12 million a year though, wasn't it?
I'm not sure how much it was, but Le'Veon said, "Hey, no, my worth is more than that." I'm pretty sure it's more than eight. I'm not sure.
What Rich was saying about he wants to be the top running back and wide receiver, he wants a lot more money, it's combined money. So I don't know how that's going to happen. I mean, I'm pretty sure a franchise, if it's not the Steelers, somebody's going to pay this man.
Oh, yeah.
So you're not surprised whatsoever that he didn't sign no long-year contract? Or are you more surprised that the Steelers, what you said, lowballed him? Are you surprised the Steelers did that?
A little bit. But then again, like I say, the market for running backs right now, for whatever reason, is low as hell. I still don't get that. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's because of how long they can last? I mean, running backs, they deal with so much. Maybe they're just thinking about what if he goes down.
Yeah, they make it seem like once they hit 30, it's all downhill from there.
Which it is for a lot of running backs. That's where they start declining. But for a bum ass like Ryan Tannehill to
How much is Tannehill? Tannehill makes, I think, eighteen million.
That blows my mind that they pay these horrible ass quarterbacks. I'm not saying he's horrible, but he's not a good quarterback. He's not a top.
He's
10
average at best.
Yeah,
let's be honest. He's average.
This is Le'Veon Bell. He's been a top running back for I don't know how many years. I mean, you would think they'd pay this guy.
If they don't, somebody else will.
All right, fellas, that's it for the NFL. So now we're gonna hop into NBA. Are you guys ready for that parade? Are you ready for the parade? Over there in Rodeo Drive in L.A. Land. In La La Land. That's right. Showtime is back. Showtime is back. They are the champs. The Lakers are champs once again.
Of what?
Summer League.
Balling in the Summer League.
Oh, yeah. They're champs now. They can say the champs. But anyways, speaking about the Summer League, okay, guys? Interesting summer league this year. I caught quite a few games, actually, myself this year. What player, I'm going to start with you, Mr. Two Plates. What player in the summer league stood out to you?
Here I am.
Here we go.
We already know.
Not Lonzo Ball, I'll tell you that. That's payback, dog, because you just got me.
Okay. I was a little loud, fellas.
You know, a lot of people haven't heard this name yet. Donovan Mitchell, you know, the 13th pick in this year's draft. Mm-hmm. He only played two games, but this dude averaged 28 points and 6 steals per game. Mm-hmm. Then we got Kyle Kuzma. He got drafted by the Lakers also. Yeah. People talking about Lonzo Ball, but this dude Kyle Kuzma, he got drafted late in the first round by the Lakers also. This guy put up 21.9 points, 51.4% shooting. Field goal percentage. So, I mean, yeah, people talking about Ball. You know, he hit a couple triple-doubles, and, you know, he's doing this and doing that, and, you know, his name is out there. But a lot of people sleep on these other guys. And let's not forget, you know, Tatum. And we got, you know what I'm saying, my boy De'Aaron Fox for the Sacramento Kings.
So what about you, Rich? What player stood out to you in the summer league?
I was going to pick on one of his he picked the Kuzma guy. From the Lakers, I watched the championship game, and he's the one that led that team to that victory to become the champions of the summer league. So he stood out, and of course the guy from Dallas, I don't remember his name,
Derek Smith Jr.
He talks about him so much, he knew him. So he was a big standout. Everyone's talking about Lonzo Ball and everything. Like, I mean, of course they would, because I mean, how hyped up he was before he got drafted and everything. But I mean, there's some other players in this draft that, or in this draft class that are, you know, they weren't as they didn't have the spotlight on, like, you know, Lonzo
right.
Ball.
They wasn't as advertised as Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, Lonzo Ball and stuff like that. So,
well, I kind of agree with you guys too. I mean, Dennis Smith from Dallas stood out to me. I mean, he came out of, not saying nowhere, but nobody paid attention to him.
He came out of nowhere.
And I'm like, well, okay. I mean, granted, like I said, this is the summer league, so you're not playing to the highest competition yet. But he played pretty good. He played pretty solid. He made the, I can't believe, I didn't know they had this and until I saw it, was they have an all NBA first team for the summer league. So he made that. So, I mean, I never heard of it before, but he they have it. And like you said, Jason Tatum from Boston. Man, looking at him, and I'm sorry to put Markel Fultz down, but I mean, it's still so much time for him to play better or to, you know, compete to where he's supposed to. But when I looked at Jason Tatum and then I looked at Markel Fultz, I'm like, man, Boston knew. Not saying Fultz is no good or anything, Fultz, but I just knew right. Boston was like, man, this kid, man, I'm telling you.
He's going to be special.
I mean, man.
He's my pick for Rookie of the Year.
I mean, just the collectiveness, the calmness of him, and he just looks the NBA part. Ready.
Yeah, he looks the part.
He looks NBA ready.
He do.
And I'm not saying Fultz isn't, but I believe there's going to be a lot more trial and errors with Fultz before he can hit his stride. You know, before, I mean, not saying Tatum ain't going to hit his trials and errors, but I just think there's more trial and errors for Fultz. And, I mean, he really didn't impress me. I ain't going to lie. Fultz did not impress me whatsoever in this summer league. I mean, it's just a summer league, but he didn't impress me. I have to give credit to Lonzo. I mean, I understand it's summer league, it's triple doubles, but, you know, I'll give him credit. He looked good. I mean, as far as he looked good as a point guard. You know what I'm saying? He looked good as a point guard. Some of the passes I saw were pretty good. I mean, they were on point. You know, they were like some long ball passes. They were, you know, window small openings passes.
Did you see where you
pretty
punched
good.
the pass?
Yeah, I mean,
punched
it
a freaking.
I mean, he could play. I never did say he can play. I just don't like all the hypeness that his father brought with him.
Yeah.
But like I said, this is the summer NBA NBA league.
Yeah.
I don't agree with him winning the MVP. I mean, don't you have to play all these games and play in the finals? I mean, come on, man. I hate to be like that, but it's not like it's not like it's a long season in the summer league.
Like you
bro.
Say, a popularity
contest.
Yeah,
it's a popularity
contest. That's what it
contest.
Was. He was
come
the big
on,
name,
bro.
So you had to give
I mean,
it to
honestly,
him.
Honestly, nah, I wouldn't agree with that. But he did some good things.
What about what Magic Johnson said after they won? Did you hear what he said? He said the Lakers are back. After winning the summer league, the Lakers are back.
Man, okay, you want to go ahead first on this one, man?
I mean, back to what? I mean,
exactly.
I mean,
to come out
like,
and say
I mean,
that,
it's
though.
Summer League. He's playing against D League players,
yeah,
rookies, second year players. I mean, there's no real competition out there yet. Let's see what he do when he step on the court with Kyrie Irving and, you know, John Wall, Russell Westbrook, even Steph Curry, no defense playing ass. Let's see what he do on the court when he step on the court with them.
Yeah.
You know the matchup I want to see, though, that I can't wait for?
Right.
The Lakers and the Clippers.
Oh, yeah.
That's when he going to see that Chicago pit bull.
Oh, Patrick.
Man, Patrick Beverley.
Yeah.
Let's see what he do against Patrick Beverley on the court. Then we going to judge him. We can't really judge what he done in the summer league. I mean, it's summer league. Come on, man. But real soon, we going to find out what Lonzo really made of.
I mean, okay, guys. This isn't going to be very popular because everybody loves Magic Johnson. And I like him, too.
He cool, yeah.
He's really cool. But, man, come on, man. Come on, Irv. Come on, Irving. Come back to reality, bro. Come on. Quit being a salesman because you've been a salesman for a long time now. Stop it. Okay? You're saying this man, the Lakers are back, and this man, Lonzo Ball, is the next you, basically. He's going to hold the torch. Relax with all that, man. Relax. Come on, do you really see people saying Michael Jordan was going to be the torch, that he was going to be the greatest, this and that? Come on, man. You don't know. You don't know. Injuries can happen. Anything can happen. You have no idea. This kid hasn't even played a whole season yet. It takes at least 3 to 4 seasons before you get into your stride as an NBA player.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes a couple years.
And let's be honest.
I mean, even LeBron James, it took him maybe two years.
Now LeBron came out and balled right away, but let's be honest about let's be honest about Lonzo though. He gonna struggle in the beginning, and why I say that is because he got that target on his back.
Yeah,
but I got a question for both of you guys though. Do people really hate Lonzo?
No.
Do we have a problem with Lonzo? Do we not like Lonzo?
No.
No.
Because it seems like a lot of people don't like Lonzo. And I'm thinking, why don't y'all like this dude?
Because of his dad.
Right. I mean, but that's the thing, though. It's like me. Let's say somebody didn't like me. I'm going to be like, okay, you don't like me. That's cool. But don't like me because of something I said or something I did. Don't not like me because something my father said or my mother said, my brother. You know what I'm saying? You know, don't like me because of me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, people don't like Lonzo right now. Well, some people don't. That's what I've been hearing. But it's because of his father.
Actually,
yeah.
I don't. You know, me, I'm a little different about it. It's not. I have no problem with his father whatsoever. I mean,
you ain't got no problem with LeVar Ball.
It's entertainment, like he says. But you know what does bother me is Magic Johnson saying this shit about Lonzo and about the Showtime Lakers. I'm sorry, that affects me. That bothers me a little bit. And the reason why I say that is because he's giving this kid all the credit, but yet his team improved too. I mean, they got Lopez. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I forgot about
so
yes.
you don't you're,
yes.
you're saying it's him, but you also got Brooke Lopez. You got you know Brandon Ingram. They're coming up. You know what I'm saying? So don't just it's like he's avoiding all these other pieces he have and say oh we're back and has his shoulder over Lonzo and it's like dude it's not gonna be because of Lonzo if you guys are gonna be back. It's gonna be because of all these pieces that you have. Before Lonzo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying Lonzo's not going to help a little bit, yeah. But yeah, it's just like, come on, man. And plus, it's like he's saying all this, oh, he's going to be top point guard, whatever. He's going to this. So excited. You know what? So did Michael Jordan said about Kwame Brown. Look what happened to that. You know what I'm saying? You could be the greatest basketball player and be the intuition of saying, oh, this kid's going to be so good. You don't know that. Come on, man.
He's a little bit too infatuated with Lonzo Ball right now.
Man, that bothers me. Yeah. It's like, come on, man. I agree with that. So, I mean, all right, guys, I want to keep it going here. Rajon Rondo signed a one-year deal with Pelicans, and he's going to be reunited with Boogie Cousins. Rockets reach a one-year deal with Luke Babadebupu. I don't know, Babadebute. Any of those good? I mean, honestly.
That dude, he from the Clippers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, coming off the bench, you know, he going to do a little something. I mean, if you're looking for big things from him, you're not going to get it. You know what I'm saying? As far as Rondo go, I mean, Rondo could do some things down there with AP and, you know, DeMarcus Cousins. Yeah. You know, he can do a little something down there. You know what I'm saying? Even though they talking about Anthony Davis thinking about leaving or getting traded or wanting to trade or whatever. But if he stay, yeah, I mean, they could do a little bit down there.
Rich?
You're talking about Abatamute, whatever the hell his last name is?
Yeah.
What he does, the reason the Rockets even went after him is defense. He's not a good shooter. Mm-hmm. He can't hit he can hit an open three sometimes, but he's not a great shooter. So they added him for defense. And Rajon Rondo, I am excited to see what he can do. But, I mean, like he was talking about Anthony Davis wanting a trade. Who knows?
All right, fellas. Gentlemen, that's it. Tri-Mariners, thank you for listening. I know it was a little longer than usual. We had a little bit more to say. We vented a little bit longer. Thank you for listening all the way to the end. Apologies here. But you know what? Hopefully next time when y'all who's listening could be on the show and vent to us about what you have to say about topics.
No doubt.
So Rich, where can they find us at?
On Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, it's at the Tripod. And if you want to email us, it's thetribecast16@gmail.com.
All right, Tribe members, thanks again for joining the 28th edition of the Tribe Podcast, where the Showtime Lakers are back and won the championship in the Summer League. For my boy, Eric.
Thank y'all for listening. God bless y'all. Good night.
For my boy, Rich.
Hey, thank you guys for listening.
Hey, Rich, where can they find our buddy at in Houston?
Oh,
Space City Sports. I just wanted to get you off track.
That's all you got to type in is Space City Sports.
Space City Sports. Seriously, check our buddies out over there. I am Dave Love. Everyone, dream big, live bigger. Peace.